You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Make some noise! It's Making Monsters with Taylor Dahl. It's like beer and brats, a perfect combination.
You know the deal.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Making Monsters. We are continuing on our quarterback talk as the Bears are making a lot of decisions right now. If they're keeping Justin Fields, if they're drafting a quarterback, I know Caleb Williams sits at the top of most people's big boards for quarterback rankings, but there's a lot of good quarterbacks in this league, and some people want to know a little bit more about the others that the Bears could possibly take. But in addition to that, there's other guys around the league that are in positions that the Bears also need to fill this season, and we're talking about offensive linemen, defensive linemen, some cornerbacks, wide receivers. All of those positions are kind of ones that we're honing in on. So we are going to continue on today. I am joined by Preston Guy. He covers LSU football and recruiting at Tiger Bait. So Preston, thanks so much for hopping on with me.
Hey, thanks for having me.
No problem. We're going to get right into this. Obviously, big, fantastic season for Jaden Daniels, Heisman Trophy winner this season. So just a little bit background if people maybe don't know. He spent his first couple seasons at Arizona State, but really found his success at LSU and was really able to kind of just find his groove this last couple seasons there, especially this last season. So let's talk about the first season, though, a little bit, Preston, with LSU. Brian Kelly, new to the system, kind of building out his own staff and team. Tell us a little bit about that offense, that season. Jaden Daniels, he completed 68.6% of his passes for 2,913 yards in 14 games. Only 17 touchdowns that season, but also only threw three picks. Used his legs a ton, as he does, and setting a record for rushing yards and rushing touchdowns. But tell us a little bit about how that LSU offense worked that first season with him and what he was able to do in year one.
Yeah, that LSU offense in 2022 was just, you know, it was an amalgam of a bunch of new pieces playing together, including Jaden Daniels, who left Arizona State from the transfer portal. Of course, Jaden, I call it a good, not great season from him. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, he was knocking on the door of 4,000 total yards. Mm-hmm. And had, you know, once you account for his rushing touchdowns, he had close to about 30 touchdowns. So it wasn't a bad season, but there were certain points during the year where he didn't necessarily excel, and had, you know, his defense gave him opportunities to win games, and the offense just couldn't score enough points, like that Texas A&M game or like that Florida State game opener where, mm-hmm. you know, they lost by a single point, 24-23, and the offense really had no identity for much of the game. But you could see shades of greatness in him. For instance, in that Florida State game, he gets the ball down 7 points on his own 1 yard line with 90 seconds to go. And what does he do but lead his team down the field for the would be game tying field goal as time expired, by the way. I mean, it was miraculous. It really was. But then the kicker just misses the extra point. And that just goes to show you how little chemistry there was on that team in mm-hmm. 2022. And in 2023, you could see early and often that chemistry with everybody was through the roof better. There was no Kayshon Boutte distraction where, you know, he was coming into the season expecting to be a first-round draft pick, mm-hmm. ended up being a sixth-round draft pick because, you know, quite frankly, he just wasn't as good as he was built up to be, and they were trying to force feed him the ball. So getting that out of the way and working with guys like Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas, who are actually looking like first-round draft picks, really opened things up in a big way to where he was exceptional this last season.
Yeah, and we'll definitely get to both of those guys because those are names that we're looking at for sure in Chicago. Talking about this past season, the mobility factor and using his legs continued. over 1,100 rushing yards, 10 rushing touchdowns. But what really shined for a lot of people was that the passing yards and touchdowns massively increased for him this year. 40 touchdowns, just 4 picks still, so one more pick than the previous season with a lot more touchdowns. What did you see? I know you were talking about just kind of the chemistry and the connection between the team in general, but was there anything within him that you saw also just improve between those 2 years to just see this massive leap in the passing side of things?
Yeah, his personal growth. So obviously the offense grew a lot around him.
Mm-hmm.
His offensive line got tremendously better. His receivers played a lot better. And the team just gelled around him. The emergence of Logan Diggs at running back was a real booster to him, because really the year before they didn't have any consistent running game outside of Jaden running the ball. So this year where Jaden improved was his deep ball.
Okay.
And it wasn't necessarily that he was bad at throwing it the year before, but he just didn't take too many shots downfield. I think he was a little gun shy because he, you know, at Arizona State, he threw 10 interceptions the year before coming to LSU. He had a 10 touchdown, 10 interception season. It was really bad. And I think he got a little gun shy. He averaged 8.9 yards per target, right? Which actually would have put him like 120th in the country,
mm-hmm.
something to that effect. Well, that was a point of focus this offseason, and he improved in a big kind of way. He actually got to where he was one of the best deep ball throwers in the country. One of the stats that really spoke volumes as his Heisman campaign got up and going is these aren't just, you know, dink and dunk, typical 5-10 yard throws he's making out here. He's leading the country in 20-plus yard plays.
Yeah.
He had more 20-plus yard plays than any other team in the country. And we're talking individually he did,
yeah.
than any other team going after the Texas A&M game. So, you know, it truly was impressive how he stretched the field. And I'm talking these deep balls, a lot of these had next to no room for error. And he just put it on a needle, mm-hmm. right on the dot, deep down the field. You can see that on his highlight reel. These are not guys running open by 20 yards a lot of times. A lot of times he's threading that needle down there. He's putting it right over the defender's head, and he almost always needed to as well because his defense really mm-hmm. wasn't giving him much help either.
Yeah, and that was actually the next thing I was going to say, because the LSU defense definitely struggled last season, and the Tigers oftentimes were coming back from being down, Jaden kind of having to play hero ball a little bit later because he was playing from behind or having, you know, playing a team that is also scoring a ton of points. So what did you see from him in those moments when he needed to play catch up or make the big plays to kind of keep them in the situations or keep them in some games?
Yeah, there was really no situation where I felt it was too big for him. I think he mm-hmm. stepped up and played as well as he could. If you look in all three of the losses, I mean, he averaged about 370 yards per game in those losses,
mm-hmm.
Over 3 touchdowns in each one of those. Really was not his fault. Florida State was the only one that really got away from him. Ole Miss, I mean, everything they threw at him, he just came back and responded, mm-hmm. you know, every single time. And that, I mean, your defense gives up 55 points, and he still had LSU in a position where they're, you know, 26 yards out
mm-hmm.
from winning the game, and had his receiver caught the Hail Mary heave, which it did hit him in both his hands, but he just had too many defenders around him. Had he caught that, LSU would have won that game.
Yeah.
So Jaden did everything he could to win that game. In the Alabama game, you know, LSU found themselves in a tough spot. He did throw an interception late in that game, and it just showed. I mean, he was playing incredibly well, and then dug himself into a double score deficit, and he was driving back. He was about to cut it to one score, but then he just took a big, nasty hit. And what I think was should have been called targeting, but he got knocked out of that game and then bounced back next week to have an unprecedented game against Florida where he just hung, I think it was 400 yards and 250 yards rushing. He was all over the place.
Yeah, I remember that game. That one was, I was like, wow, this kid is good. We talked about just how much his numbers when it comes to the passing game has improved, but it's definitely something you don't want to shy away of when it comes to him being a dual threat guy and how much he can do with his legs. Maybe for some of the people that didn't watch much LSU football or still just kind of learning what that offense was like, what did they do for Jaden? Were there designed runs for him? How did he perform when it was like unscripted, when he had to take off? Because some people panic that a lot of the questions with Justin Fields right now, because obviously he's super mobile too. He can run all over the place and sometimes he makes incredible plays, but sometimes people believe he takes off too early and runs rather than going through his progressions fully and things like that, holds the ball too long. Are those concerns with Jaden? Are those things you've seen? What did LSU do with him to when it comes to that run game?
Okay, so in terms of getting a little happy-footed, that was a problem of 2022, Jaden Daniels.
Okay.
He did actually rely on his legs a little bit too much and would get a little happy feet and take off. And, you know, sometimes it was there and sometimes it wasn't. You know, sometimes he would just break off for 2 or 3 yards when, you know, if you had been a little more patient, you could have found an open receiver and used your legs to buy some time. 2023, he was fantastic with this. I mean, it was truly a dramatic improvement in terms of he really was looking to pass first, right? And then if something was open, he knew what kind of athlete he was and he just took it. And usually it'd be for a massive gain. Mm-hmm. Most of his yardage is running the ball is improvised yardage. It really wasn't too much dialed up runs. It was him seeing something open and, you know, seeing a lane and going for it. You know, the dialed runs would, you know, the runs they called in were mostly like, you know, third and short, goal line situation, you know, plays where you really needed to have it. They did call a few of those to Jaden, but overwhelmingly it was just him scrambling and making something happen with his legs. But, I wouldn't say this year he got too happy-footed with it at all. I think he improved a lot.
That speaks volumes, I think, too, to what you were talking about in the beginning with the comfort, too, because when you are on a new team with a new offense and new weapons around you and a new coach and all of these things, and sometimes when you just want to make the play, they'll take off if you can. If you're a fast guy and know you can run, they'll do that. So it's nice to know that once he did find comfort in his offense, he was able to settle in a little bit, which is what you would like to hear. And that's kind of what people have been hoping we'd see a little bit more out of Fields in year three. But there's a lot of disagreements in Chicago on why that's been happening. If you were to do a player comparison when you're talking about, because there's several NFL guys right now that are dual threat quarterbacks, what would you say if you had to, the playing style is the closest if it comes to a Jalen Hurts, a Lamar, Josh Allen, Justin Fields, any of those guys register, or do you think he's just a different type?
Yeah, if you made me pick one, I'd go with Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
I think Jaden Daniel, he's going to enter the league and be the best running quarterback outside of Lamar Jackson in the NFL, day one. And I think that makes him an easy comp. He reminds me a bit of RG3 throwing the ball, because he can push the ball deep downfield probably better than Lamar could out of college. So, but I also think he's a bit of a better runner than RG3 was coming out. Now, I hate to make the RG3 comp, because immediately your thought goes to injury and stuff like that, which Jaden does need to do a better job protecting himself. He took some nasty blows at LSU. It took him a while to really learn to slide. And that's something he's going to have to improve on is protecting his body, because he is a thinner guy. He's, you know, probably right at 205 pounds on a 6'3 frame. You know, he's thin, and I don't know how much he can bulk up and remain as mobile as he can. So he's going to have to do some stuff to keep himself protected.
Yeah, because these guys are they're definitely getting hit out there, and that's one of the things we've seen Justin almost 100 times getting sacked this last two seasons. So not ideal. You would hope that, you know, the line continues to get fixed, because that's kind of what happened in Baltimore. They built that lineup in front of Lamar, so he wasn't having to take all of those hits, because that was a big concern of him for a while. Let's chat about some of the other Tigers. One name very popular on draft boards and in Chicago. And as last year pointed very obvious, the Bears need another offensive weapon. DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, fantastic. Beyond that, it kind of was a big drop. And Malik Nabers is someone who's sitting on the top of those those draft boards. A lot of people have them, the Bears mocked to get him at pick 9 because obviously they have 2 picks in the top 10. So he 1,500 yards this season, over 1,500 yards this season. The thing that popped out to me big time was averaging 17.6 yards a reception, 14 touchdowns. The correlation and success, obviously, between Neighbors and Daniels, you could just see that they were on the same page almost every single play, and that's obvious. But what do you believe led to that big increase in touchdowns for Neighbors this season? Do you think it was that connection, or do you think he was also getting better at a lot of things too?
Well, number one, you cleared up the receiving room for him to emerge as your clear number one guy.
Okay.
In 2022, like I said, you came into the season and Butte was your assumed first round stud, right? And it really took you a few games to figure out, I don't think he's the same guy he was as a freshman. I think the injuries or the focus, just something is awry there with Kayshon Butte.
Mm-hmm.
So getting him out of the way and letting Neighbors take over, be the true number one guy, really opened some things up. I think what really helped Neighbors a bunch, though, is number one, an improved offensive line, giving Jaden some more time.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Jaden was throwing the ball deep. Malik was getting open, and Jaden was able to hit him. I think he was a pretty quality receiver his whole time at LSU. What really strikes me, though, about Malik Neighbors is, the character he has. In that Florida State game in 2022 where LSU lost by 1 point on the missed, that blocked extra point I told you about, they muffed 2 punts and gave it back to Florida State, and those were both Malik Neighbors. And immediately on that 99-yard drive that Jaden Daniels led to get the would-be tying touchdown, the first receiver he looks to on that drive is Malik Neighbors.
Yeah.
So the fact that Malik Neighbors could bounce back from a game like that and be such a go-to guy moving forward, I think that speaks volumes. I think he was the best receiver in the country this year. A lot of people talked about Marvin Harrison Jr.,
mm-hmm.
and they brought up a good point. Well, Jaden Daniels.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Malik Neighbors. Okay, but Kyle McCord was throwing to Marvin Harrison. Of course, it's a little tougher to put up numbers with Kyle McCord. And they're right. I would counter the argument with Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't have to split grabs with a guy like Brian Thomas.
Yeah.
Their next leading receiver had like 400 yards. Brian Thomas was phenomenal this
mm-hmm.
year. So the fact that you had two guys out there to spread the ball around to was huge.
Yeah, and I definitely want to get to Brian Thomas, too. Was the return, did he return often, Neighbors, or was that just something they maybe shied
away
from?
Once he muffed that second punt, he never returned
to
kick again.
All right. He was like, I probably don't want to do this anymore.
He probably didn't want to. He's like, you know what? I'm good.
Let me catch the balls in the normal offense. Let's a little bit.
It's funny. They actually had to turn to a walk-on to return kicks.
Really?
Basically the next 2 years. Yeah. They didn't have a true kick returner. They've had terrible luck getting a kick returner.
Listen, we've had some struggles in Chicago too. They drafted Velus Jones a couple seasons ago. Velus has muffed several returns, and it's gotten to the point where the Bears have just been struggling trying to find that too. We all kind of joke where we're like, okay, well, we had Devin Hester, and then now we're cursed and can never have anybody who can return anything again. But let's talk about some of his strengths, because there's a long list of things that Malik Neighbors is really good about. A lot of the term that I've seen is just complete package wide receiver, because explosiveness, acceleration, strength, all of that.
Yeah.
And that's also led to him being a better route runner, too, that you've seen this last season especially. And you just mentioned one of the wide receivers in Marvin Harrison that also sits up there. Roma Dunze is another one that a lot of people like. Those are kind of the main guys to watch in this class. But how do you think he compares to those guys? I know you just talked about Marvin, but from what it seems like you're saying, he's pretty close to both Marvin and Roma Dunze, if not better.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You ask about like the strengths of Malik Nabers, and he's really such a well-rounded athlete. Is he sure-handed? Check. Is he a fast, dynamic athlete? Check. Can he catch the deep ball? Absolutely. Is he a solid route runner? 100%. I will say, he's more of an open, I'm trying to think of how to say this. He's not like a Randy Moss, go up and get
Okay.
it, leaping type long receiver. He is going to be a faster receiver, good, at getting the ball with some space and making something happen with it. I wouldn't necessarily look at him as like a slot type receiver either.
Okay.
I would say he's an outside receiver, no doubt.
Okay. Yeah, not technically the contested catches 50-50 guy, but he'll create separation for you, so you don't need it as much for him. Is that what you're thinking?
I think, I don't know if there's necessarily a contested catch. It's just, and I'm not saying he's necessarily bad at this either, but I just don't know that he's going to have the, 6'5" frame and with a 40-inch vertical like a Calvin Johnson type
Yeah.
super long receiver. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
I think he is more of a speedy guy, but I mean, he can certainly go up and get some balls. I mean, it sounds cliche, but he really is a very well-rounded receiver. I mean, he can do a lot of everything and fit in a lot of different places too.
Yeah, and that's a lot of things that I've heard, and that's why a lot of people are kind of saying, because with the Bears, with that ninth pick, him being able to probably be available there, and then also just kind of plugging into being that other guy across DJ Moore, I feel like a lot of people think it'd be a really good fit. You talked about big receivers. That's Brian Thomas, bigger receiver
Oh,
than
yeah.
who Nabers is, 6'4", I believe he is, somewhere around there. But 17 touchdowns this season for almost 1,200 yards he had, and that's what you just mentioned earlier. He had two guys who were producing this way on LSU's offense, and that's really, really fun to watch. That's why their offense was probably one of the more explosive offenses in college football. But how much of an advantage for LSU was it having both of these guys on the football field at the same time?
It was a tremendous advantage. I mean, it gave Jaden a lot of options on a lot of plays, and it opened up a lot of the other guys to get open on other stuff. And it got to the point where LSU had a really good tight end, Jason Taylor's son, Mason Taylor. He hardly got the ball at all, not because he wasn't good or anything. It's just one of those two guys was open on just every play, just about. And the offense really became receiver-centric because the receivers were so darn good.
Yeah.
And that's why LSU had the number one offense in the country. And LSU actually, I think it was the third best offense in SEC history this year.
Wow. That's fun. And they were definitely a fun team to watch. I know I'm in Florida now, so the SEC country down here. And I mean, LSU was just definitely a fun team to watch, and especially I guess mainly offensively. But tell us a little bit more about Brian Thomas. What type of receiver would you explain him as, and what do you think will be able to transfer over to the NFL?
Brian Thomas is a little less well-rounded. He's more of a deep ball threat.
Okay.
He's not going to run. He's not going to run as crisp as routes. He's a little, more of a speed, less of a quick receiver. You know what I mean? He's not saying he's faster than Malik Nabers. He probably isn't as fast as him, but he's more of a straight line speed type guy who's going to have some mobility to make cuts, but he's a bigger receiver. He's a taller receiver, and he is a guy who's going to go up and get it a little bit better than Malik Nabers. Very sure-handed, especially toward the end of his careers, where Jaden Daniels was hitting him on a lot of these deep balls where he was having to catch them in stride on his fingertips, like without slowing down at all, because that was the kind of accuracy he was getting hit with. So he is a good receiver. I think he is going to be one of the bigger value picks in this draft. I expect both Malik and Jaden will be gone in the top 10. That might not be the case for Brian Thomas. He could be sticking around. He'll probably be more of a top 20 pick.
Yeah.
And I think a team, a good team could get their hands on him. I mean, He'll make a good reward for them because, I mean, he's just a solid player, big bodied guy. You know, receive quarterbacks love having a guy who's got a big catch box,
Oh,
and that's
definitely.
exactly what he brings to the table, you know. So, yeah, sometimes even if your accuracy isn't the best in the world, you got a radius like his,
Yeah,
it makes
makes it
up
a
for
little
that.
easier.
Yeah.
So what happens to LSU's offense now without these three guys who have just been, I mean, absolutely incredible this last season?
Yeah, LSU's got to turn the page, and they lose their offensive coordinator, Mike Denbrock, who decided to go back home to Notre Dame. They had to turn. I mean, the good news is in the bowl game, we got to see Malik Nabers actually only played, I think it was three series. He got in, he broke the LSU career record for receiving yardage. And Brian
Damn
Kelly pulled him out. He said, "You're done. You got to go to the NFL. This bowl game doesn't mean enough." Jaden Daniels opted out, and Garrett Nussmeier still went out there and passed for 395
Yeah.
yards. So it seems like this offense is really in a good position. They bring back four out of five of that offensive line that was so good this year. And they've got a lot of young. Tyron Lacy steps up, and he'll probably be your number one receiver. They bring in CJ Daniels from Liberty. Chris Hilton is a guy who's a real speed, deep threat kind of guy who had a real good connection with Nussmeier all camp. We'll see. Most people aren't expecting the offense to miss a beat. I don't think anybody with a reasonable, sound mind is going to think that they're going to replicate what they did last year with the third best SEC offense of all time and a Heisman winner and you know, number one offense in the country. But there is some expectation that they're going to be pretty good. I mean, if Nussmeier can keep on cooking, I mean, that Wisconsin defense in the bowl game that they played in the bowl, I mean, they were only a 7-5 team, but their defense was in the top 35 nationally. So not a terrible defense they were going against. And Nussmeier was fantastic, as were all the receivers. Now, Brian Thomas did play all that game, so he'll have to be without him. But I think the offense will be fine.
So you mentioned, who was it that you said played just to, they were set trying to hit a certain
Malik
record?
Nabers.
Nabers. Okay, that's what I
Malik
thought.
Nabers, yeah.
How did you, because I remember there was kind of some people upset about that at some point. Was it like a mutual thing between Brian Kelly and Nabers of, hey, let's hit this mark so you can have this mark and then we'll take you out?
You know, Malik Nabers is very, very passionate, especially about LSU. He grew up loving LSU. I talked to his mom a couple times about it, and he cried in his last game in Tiger Stadium because he was just so sad to see it go. And I think he really wanted to be out there. Brian Kelly claims it was a his decision thing. It was, hey, you've got nothing to gain by playing this game. You're going to be the first or second or third receiver off the board. You're done. That's what he claims. We have no idea what that conversation looked like behind the scenes, but I'm just telling you what's out there is he's a very passionate kid. You know, I could see him saying, "Screw this, I'm playing with my boys. We're going to go at it." And I could see Brian Kelly, you know, doing what he said. But, you know, I don't think players choosing to protect themselves really has hurt their draft stock much in these days, at least.
Yeah, and we're seeing it more and more when it comes to bowl games now, because I think when you have seen those rare occasions where someone gets injured in a bowl game and then they're having to, and they were supposed to be drafted high, or they're having to miss a large portion of their rookie season, if not the entirety, it's definitely not worth it for some of these guys, because that's the rest of their lives, their career they're looking at. Preston, I want to talk about one more guy with you before I let you go, because it's another position the Bears are going to be looking at, defensive tackles. LSU, as we mentioned earlier, defensively did struggle, but Mekhi Wingo had a good season. He sits like late 50s, early 60s on the big board, about the sixth interior guy on a lot of the list I've seen, fifth, sixth. Tell us some of his strengths. How do you think he'll make that move to the NFL after kind of what he was surrounded by at LSU last year?
Yeah, Mekhi Wingo was a guy. He was really one of the few bright spots on that defense. A high motor defensive tackle. He got hurt. I think it was the Alabama game. He got hurt, so he missed the last four games or so. And then he played in the bowl game. And he's an undersized defensive tackle. He's probably about 6 feet tall. But he's just a guy who plays with really good leverage and technique, and makes a lot of plays. Solid player. I think if you're getting a guy like that around 50 or 60, you're getting a pretty good value from a guy. And he's also a really smart player. One of my favorite players to interview while at LSU, just because he's so articulate, so smart. So any system, any playbook, he's going to pick up. He's going to be a great locker room guy. But you know, if you can get him, you know, and you're talking, you know, back end of the second or third round, I think you're bringing in a pretty good player.
Yeah, it's an interesting one to me because it's definitely something the Bears need to address that. They need an edge guy, but they also, I think, need a little bit more on the inside. They got Javon Dexter from Florida last year. Javon had a really good season, but they just need somebody in the middle that's able to create some pressure from the inside, and I do think it will help those outside guys a little bit more. And that's something you saw from him this last season. You saw his pressures from the inside and his sacks both increase, and that's with not much helping him. So imagine if LSU had a little bit more around him. But was that something you noticed, those pressures and him being able to find the ball and find the quarterback, that increase within these last two seasons?
You know, this last season, honestly, a lot of times it was pretty miserable watching the defense as a whole try to get anything going. But a lot of times, you know, that defensive line, it would be Mekhi Wingo basically the only one really getting much pressure. A lot of times, and a lot of times he probably should have had an even bigger impact. It's pretty easy to scheme around one high performing player. You know what I mean? So a lot of times it was probably quieter than it should have been just because of that. Because LSU's defensive line really was a mess this year, especially after Mekhi Wingo got hurt, became an even bigger mess. You know, one of the things that stands out, LSU's defensive line coach got a terminal illness of some sort before the season.
Oh my goodness.
And they had to shuffle around some guys and had to put John Janik as the interim defensive line coach. And, you know, he was kind of coaching out of position. He's more of an outside linebacker. So he was hired as the special teams coach.
Okay.
So he'd really never coached defensive line. So a lot of these defensive linemen were, you know, really playing, you know, with some poor technique. They even brought in Pete Jenkins to kind of help with the defensive line. We're talking about, you know, 85-year-old veteran guru defensive line guy, just to help with some technique on the defensive line because it was so bad. But Mekhi Wingo was not one of the ones who was really part of the problem. He really was a bright spot this year for the defensive line.
That's good to hear that we have those. It was very similar when we were talking about Javon Dexter last season. Around this time, I did a podcast on him about Bears potentially drafting him, and then they ended up drafting him. But same thing, Florida's defense was so bad, and everyone just kept being like, it's really hard. Like, he played well, and he was what people had to pretty much game plan and scheme solely around this one player. So it's really hard to tell how good he is or how good he can be because he didn't have the opportunity. Yeah. He was doing everything. He was getting double teamed. He just didn't have the chance to really stack up his stat sheet or for you to fully see what he can be. And then this season, we kind of did start to see that from Javon, and I could see Wingo kind of being one of those similar type guy. Once you see him get and you put him on a line that he has some help, maybe you'll start seeing these flashes a little bit quicker. Preston, thank you again for hopping on. I really appreciate this. I know several of these guys Bears fans are looking at, so I enjoyed this.
All right, thank you for having me.
Yep, no problem. You have a good day.
All right, you too.
Thank you to Preston Guy. Again, he covers LSU football and recruiting at Tiger Bait. So several names there. I know a lot of people are not looking at Jaden Daniels. People are either Caleb or Justin, pretty much, not much beyond that. But both Brian Thomas and Malik Nabers definitely could be in the wheelhouse for the Bears. And it's two receivers that I think could make impact pretty quickly. As he mentioned, how good that LSU offense was last season. They're both different type of receivers. So it'll be interesting which way the Bears feel like they want to go. Not saying they'll draft one of these because, you know, we're talking, there's a lot of receivers in this draft that I feel like people are pointing at, but this is definitely two that we're talking about. Wingo, definitely smaller, 6'6". We saw a lot of stuff from him. as he mentioned, very similar to Jarvon Dexter, where he just didn't quite, his numbers probably would be a lot better if, let's say, he was on one of, let's say, Michigan's defense last season and he was playing with all of the guys that were on Michigan. Probably would have looked a little different, but unfortunately he was on a very bad, and what we just learned there, undercoached and unprepared almost defense because of the way they kind of had to shuffle things around, and they weren't getting the coaching they needed. So it'll be interesting to see how this goes. This podcast series is almost wrapping up, as in just the quarterbacks that I'm going to talk about. But we'll continue on. We're a month away, a little over a month away from free agency, so that will happen. We'll have the combine right before that, so we'll be hearing even more stuff around that time. But for the next 3-4 weeks or so, we will get into a little bit more draft talk and what the possibilities of the Bears may be. We will see if the Bears end up making some crazy move. March, I think it was March last year that they made the trade with the Panthers. So I'm not expecting that to happen this month, but rumors swirling everywhere. We heard some stuff from Jaxon Smith-Njigba today on Shane Waldron. So I do want to get into that. I really want to try and find somebody to chat with me about Shane Waldron. I've been working on that because I want to get to know him a little bit more and that what he was able to do, especially in Seattle, because that's what we're kind of basing a lot of things off of. But we'll get to more of that. We have a long off season. It's going to be wild. It's going to be crazy. So just hold on, buckle up. There's going to be rumor after rumor, and you're going to be mad and happy. And every day, probably your opinion and thoughts and feelings towards situations and what you think is going to happen is going to change almost daily because of everything happening in the Bears world. But we will continue this on. Again, thank you, everybody, for joining me. This is Making Monsters. I'm Tyler Dahl.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.